All right, we're back in robotics world with Tandy Chower. How are you doing? It's been a while since we've seen you.
Well, you know, we've kept pretty busy. Since I think the last time we talked, you know, we put out, I can't remember the last time we talked, but
about a year ago.
Yeah, it's been, you know, we've got a new version that we just released. Mm-hmm. We now call it Microsoft Robotics Developer Studio 2008. Someone might ask, well, why did you change the name? And one of the reasons is because, you know, we wanted to clarify that what we're doing is a development toolkit. Some people thought that maybe Robotics Studio was maybe an application suite. So this makes it a lot clearer. Mm-hmm. It also gets us better in line with Microsoft's overall wonderful naming policy. So, you know, just like there's Microsoft Visual Studio 2008, mm-hmm. now there's Microsoft Robotics Developer Studio 2008. So we killed two birds with one stone by doing that. So
excellent. And you have all the benefits of Visual Studio 2008.
Absolutely. We're not only compatible with Visual Studio 2005, but also 2008. So you can use either with this new toolkit. There's also a number of important improvements in this product.
Cool.
So, for example, in the services, when you're writing services, we now have anywhere between 1.5 to 3 times performance improvement. So that's really nice. You get improvements within a node as well as cross nodes. Mm-hmm. That's very important not only in terms of robotics but to an increasing number of customers we have outside the robotic space. In fact, you know, I know you guys have covered, you know, CCR and DSS before, yeah. And what we're finding is there's a lot of engagement outside the robotic space right now. You know, there's a lot of, like we have talked before in the past about the folks at MySpace use CCR right now to manage their website. Mm-hmm. And we're finding an increasing number of other customers who are in the enterprise space, so this, you know, this is spreading way beyond robotics, but it certainly benefits the robotics folks. In addition, you know, in the core services, it is now possible to define your notifications using link view queries, mm-hmm. so you can be very specific. So rather than just saying, like, when you have, let's say, you have a sensor, and rather than just asking the sensor to notify you when it has a state change, mm-hmm. you can now ask for very specific state changes. You know, our tools also have been improved. Our visual programming tool that people are using. One of the things that people wanted was to define when they have a truly distributed scenario and they have different services running on different compute units. They wanted to be able to kind of lay that out, and so you'll be able to do that now in the visual programming language. So you can say, for these set of services, they run on this compute unit, and these run on this compute unit, and then just, you know, execute the application. It'll deploy and execute in that fashion.
Excellent.
So that's a nice feature.
So let's talk about that for
sure.
A second, because that sounds to me a lot like tier splitting. So we've covered on Channel 9 before the Volta technology, which is all about decorating code to run in any execution context. So when you just said what you said, that kind of made me think, interesting.
Right.
Interesting parallel.
It's a visual way of doing that kind of capability, being able to tag where you want the code to actually execute. So it's and as you know, the visual programming language is really quite nice because it's fairly simple. You just kind of lay out these blocks, link them together with the message communication that goes between them, and now you can specify where those services are going to run. So let me give you a more specific scenario. Let's say I hooked up a Xbox controller or a joystick to my PC, mm-hmm. and then I wanted to control a robot which has its own PC processor in it. So I maybe have Windows, or maybe the robot's even running CE or something like that. So I have two different compute units. And so the joystick is responding here or being powered from here, but it's talking to the robot, which has its own CPU in it. So now in VPL, I can actually say, well, you know, the service for the Xbox controller or joystick runs on this compute domain, and the service, the drive service, which is running on the robot, actually runs there. And I can basically easily create that kind of a scenario. So I think particularly in the, you know, again, in the distributed embedded scenarios, people will find this a very useful feature.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, not to leave anything behind, but we made improvements in our simulation tool as well. That's pretty exciting. For example, we have this new record and playback feature. So, you know, simulation has been a very popular part of what we're doing, in that it allows people to program with robots without necessarily having the physical hardware, or even have the ability to program with robots that are you know, even beyond maybe what they could afford, so or easily access. So, for example, we've always had the KUKA LBR3, which is one of KUKA's very latest robotic arms, and not many people have, would have access to that. But in SIM, it's available to everyone. In fact, KUKA has created this nice educational package that's being used in universities right now to teach inverse kinematics and things like that. But this record and playback feature means now that, you know, one of the benefits of simulation is to be able to run through a scenario and do no harm, right? So if the robot runs off the wall or runs off the cliff or something like that, goes down the stairs, it's easier to find out. Yeah, find out in sim is easier than with the physical hardware. And this record and playback feature adds a great dimension in that you can now replay parts of the simulation and you know, do more investigative work rather than just having to run the sim over and over and over again. So that's a nice feature. And you'll see this used in some other work that that I'll mention in a moment. The other thing that's really nice is there's this new floor plan editor that we have. So, you know, in the past, or if you wanted to create a model of a building, like, you know, most robots operate inside or outside buildings. So in the past, you would have had to do something like get something like Maya or 3D Studio Max or your favorite 3D modeling program and, you know, build the model. And some of those things can be fairly expensive. And even if they're not expensive, they may be fairly complex to learn how to use. So we took the most common case of being able to define a building layout. So you could create a maze or a building, and all you have to do is kind of feed in the dimensions, and it will automatically create the building structure for you. So
nice.
Make it, again, you know, so really improve our overall goals with this preview, and it's just a preview right now, which we had just announced at Robo Business last week. The goal was to improve performance and to improve overall ease of use and, you know, development time. It's all about, this project is always about making things easier for people who are doing development. So those are some of the features that are in this next release. While I'm on the topic of SIM, though, I'd like to mention something also that was announced. One thing that was announced, for example, is some new partners to our partner program. One is Aldebaran, and I don't know how many people have seen this, but this is the new Aldebaran robot. I'll zoom in on that there.
Very cool.
So Aldebaran is about 2 feet tall. This is a new robot that has been developed. Will actually be featured at RoboCup this year in July, and it's about 2 feet tall. It has a half gigahertz a processor in it. It says here it has 256 megabytes of RAM, up to 1 gigabyte. And what's really nice is it's a fully articulated humanoid robot. Nice. So it's going to be used to replace the Sony Aibo. Now, for poor Sony Aibo, Sony Aibo, he was the star of the RoboCup show. He's a nice little dog, but unfortunately, he's very hard to find any parts for anymore since Sony did away with him. In fact, you know, his replacement has been found on the market now, too. We have the Pleo. You know, Sony Aibo sold for about $1,800. He's very tired here. And Pleo's come out at $350, and Pleo can do many of the things, you know, people probably have seen the Pleo. Pleo's kind of cute. He's kind of a artificial creature. He'll wake up here. He's kind of cute. You know, and you can scratch his head. He likes that. You know, this robots like this is what really gets me excited is the fact that, again, we've gone from technology that sold for about $2,000 to technology that sells for about $350.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is tremendous progress. Now, I'll be the first to admit, you know, other than playing with him or the future as an artificial pet, it's a question of how useful he is. But the fact of the sophistication of the technology and what can be done and how we've gone from such a radical price point. Mm. If you can hand me that little robot there, talk about this one for a moment, too, as an example. You know, when these servo-based robots first came out about 3 years ago, they sold for... It was a tremendous boon for the servo people, right? Because they normally only sell two or three servos for your car or your airplane or your boat to control them. Mm-hmm. And then some guy got this great idea that if you put a lightweight frame on them, you could actually create a robot and use 17 of them. So instead of selling three or four servos, you're now selling 17 servos. A pretty nice thing for the servo folks. But when these first came out, the original forms of these, they were about $3,000. This little robot sells for under $300 right now. So, and he's every bit as capable as the other robots. He even speaks Japanese.
Nice.
He's the little Tomy Isobot. He comes in both a Japanese and an English version. He's tremendously limber. And again, people might say, well, what's the real value of this? This really seems like it's a toy. But what's incredible, again, is to think about how much the price point of this technology has come down. I mean, it's, you know, come down... You know, from $3,000 to $300, that's pretty incredible. So, anyway, so going back to the folks at Aldebaran, you know, since Sony kind of pulled out of the marketplace, Aldebaran basically has stepped in with this new robot that we're pretty excited about. Now, these robots are actually in very short supply right now, so if you wanted to buy one, you wouldn't be able to. But because Microsoft has been working together with Aldebaran, you can actually... very soon, you'll be able to get the 3D model of this and actually program and have the experience of programming it in our soccer simulation that we've had out. So we're pretty excited about that.
Excellent.
Also, with regard to simulation, we've had another new... It's incredible. It seems like it's been French Partner Month. So Aldebaran, who is located in Paris, another French company, SimpliSoft, has been creating a tool set and creating environments for creating simulation environments around using our simulator. And so the most exciting thing to talk about with respect to that is the new program that DPE has been working on that SimpliSim has participated in called RoboChamps, which will be launched this month as well. RoboChamps will give everybody a chance to program robots. Like, how many people could participate in the DARPA Grand Challenge? Not that many. But in RoboChamps, there'll be a simulated version of an urban challenge. Mm. There'll be a simulated search and rescue. There'll be a simulated soccer tournament. There'll be a simulated maze for those people who just want maybe a more simple thing. And the other thing that's very exciting, too, is there's even a Mars simulator. So these nice. People have been under SimpliSim has been under contract with our DPE organization to create these great new simulation competitions that people participate in, and even if they don't have a robot, and maybe actually win actual robots. So that's probably one of the most exciting things that we have to talk about. So, you know, I told people last week at Robo Development this definitely shows Microsoft's continuing commitment in the robotic space. We're not just in here to, you know, do a one-shot thing. This makes now, this preview of this new release is now our third release in 2 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to improve the product. I mean, we also, as people know, we've been very responsive at getting releases out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we're a small team, and that's the other thing to mention, you know, we are now in a new business unit, which is focused on helping us grow in terms of becoming a business unto itself. We're now part of what's called the Startup Business Accelerator, which we're pretty excited about, which, you know, we really moved outside of the great hosting that we had by Microsoft Research, and we're now in kind of a transitional form in terms of, you know, before we move on to becoming a major business for the company.
Excellent.
So those are some things that are happening.
So, I mean, that's actually an interesting point to discuss. I mean, because you're moving from, you never really were hosted by MSR entirely, but you were more researchy than you were producty in the sense that you didn't have the same sort of deadlines. And so in other words, what I'm trying to ask you is, now that you're in product world, officially, you know, how is that going to impact your ability to innovate?
Well, we were always a product group. We were only hosted inside of MSR. We were never a considered a research project from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So we've always operated that way. You know, we go through the standard release procedures that every product group is required to do. So we've always kind of followed those procedures. As far as our ability to innovate, I don't see this affecting us at all in any negative way. Instead, what it will provide is some structure to allow us to grow our business. It provides some additional resources that were not available in research that will allow us to grow our business into a profitable new venture for Microsoft. You know, it's also introduced us to things like, as I mentioned, the RoboChamps thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this great support coming out of our developer and platform evangelism group now that is going to put on this wonderful competition on our behalf. It shows that, you know, we're getting better recognition of that we're not just this little incubation anymore, but mm-hmm. we actually have the potential for being a very thriving business. So this is kind of a transitional phase for us. It'll provide some additional business resources to us, which will really help us kind of grow ourselves up. So we're pretty excited about that while still maintaining our relative autonomy. By the way, I probably should have mentioned that we're actually filming all this in our new office space in downtown Seattle.
Absolutely. Lucky you.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very cool.
Makes my commute a whole lot easier. George's too. You know, George lives over on Alki, so it makes it a lot easier for him.
Nice.
So it really does reinforce the fact, though, that we are, we kind of run very much like a startup. Mm-hmm. And that we kind of have a lot of responsibility for kind of growing ourselves up. So
that's excellent.
So we're pretty excited about that. So yeah. So before you leave, you might want to look around a little bit in this space because I don't think you've filmed in this area.
No, this will be the first time.
You saw before that the space that we have was fairly creative.
Absolutely. I mean, you know,
not kind of non-traditional Microsoft space. So we've tried to maintain that flavor. We kind of gone a little more structured here, but we're still fairly open. There's still plenty of room for the robots to run around between the offices. And so it's really a lot of fun. You know, it's as I may have mentioned before, I've been at Microsoft now. I'm coming up on my 27th year.
Oof.
And, you know, this is really why. I mean, it's being able to, you know, the fact that Microsoft is willing to invest in doing new things like this that I think makes it pretty exciting. So.
Now, I mean, have you always been interested in robotics? I mean, let's talk about that.
Yes.
What's your story?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, I will admit, you know, for over the years of always having a passion for robots, but not enough to motivate me to, you know, want try to pursue that as a career goal in early part. Mm-hmm. You know, and back, show my age a little bit, back when I first got started, when I was a kid creating robots, they were things out of Tinker Toys or Rector sets where, you know, you had to use your imagination in large part. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing, again, going back to, you know, things like this. Kids today have the opportunity to program and interact with things that you really could consider robots. I mean, they're not like the things that I grew up with. So it's a great environment. Now, I kind of, you know, came through the kind of PC evolution, focusing on PCs because they were great toys, and this just seems like a natural evolution of the PC technology. So, you know, instead of sitting on my desktop like my laptop, these little PCs can run around and interact with me in a richer way. So it was really motivated, too. We may have talked about this before, that from the community itself. Mm. I mean, the community of folks in the robotics space said, you know, hey, there's something exciting we think that's starting to break out here. And we think it'd be great if Microsoft could help participate create some tools, some stable tools and a platform that would allow for greater portability, make programming robots a lot easier to do.
Awesome.
So, you know, it's, again, if you go back to, if you look over my career, it's always been something, the great thing about working at Microsoft all these years is I've always had an opportunity to try to do something new. You know, I started off programming, being the product manager for basic games and games and educational products, which is a very weird combination. I also had hardware products. So I had all those categories of products when I first started on, and eventually I ended up doing the programming languages exclusively, then moved on to Windows. Then from Windows, I set up our first kind of user interface usability labs, then did a number of other kind of you know, prototyping efforts for a while, did a lot of the early design work that went into Windows 95, helped the eHome folks get started, and this is just my latest venture, you know. It's great because being a startup with Microsoft being your venture capital company.
Yeah, that's a good one to have behind you.
Yeah, it's great.
Very cool. And one last thing I wanted to touch on was, as part of your innovation here around robotics, you guys have created a number of very interesting technologies that are used completely outside the realm of robotics.
That's right.
MySpace uses it for CCR for load balancing.
Right.
Let me ask you, were you surprised by that?
No, not really surprised. The technologies were incubated early on by George, you know, under Craig's commission to try to create a programming model that would address the complexities that were coming for us in the future. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the increasing number of cores and processors and number of processors you're going to have in distributed environments? You know, dealing with doing manual threaded type of code is a very complex thing and very hard to get right for a number of people. So, you know, that was the motivation in the first place to do CCR and DSS. And so what happened to me is I just happened to be fortunate. When I went over to see Craig to tell him that I proposed to Bill that we get started in this robotics venture, he said, well, maybe I have some technology here you could use. And we agreed that the CCR and DSS would be very helpful that way. Mm-hmm. Now, the great thing is through things like Channel 9, the story has started to get out that these things really do have purposes way beyond that. And so, as you mentioned, the folks at MySpace are using it. Mm-hmm. We have a number of engagements now with enterprise-level customers who are interested in using this for handling all forms of kind of distributed networking types of scenarios. So we have people using it for creating financial trading systems right now. People are using it for doing different kinds of scientific modeling, seismic modeling, biological modeling. Again, any kind of scenario that you can imagine where you want to harness a large array of processing power, whether it's all on one machine or distributed across a network, these technologies are turning out to be very valuable. It's not only outside Microsoft. That interest is occurring inside Microsoft. So we are actively working right now to get the CCR and DSS components into the mainstream. In fact, with this new release, we will... While we'll continue to offer the CCR and DSS as a part of Microsoft's robotics toolkit, we'll also make it available in other forms so people who are interested in using this technology outside of robotics will find that they don't have to buy a robotics toolkit to get it. Mm-hmm. You know, our embedded development group are looking at putting it into their future toolkits, and, you know, we have interaction with our folks in Visual Studio about how it fits into their product mix as well. So, so these technologies have much more widespread interest beyond just robotics. So.
Excellent. Well, hey, always great to talk to you.
Good to see you again.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Sure, and we'll be here again.
Okay.
I'm sure. And enjoy your new space, and I also look forward to see what's going on with RoboChamps.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I think RoboChamps is going to bring a lot of interest out there. Again, it gives people an opportunity to play with robots without necessarily having the physical manifestation. If they don't have physical robots, they can actually win a robot through this contest. And as I said, there's something in the mix for everyone. It's the website, you know, www.robochamps.com will provide all the information. It's a very nicely designed thing. We're very excited to see how people participate in this kind of a new opportunity for them to participate in the robotics world using Microsoft Robotics Developer Studio 2008.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
Talk to you soon.
My pleasure.